What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You had better wake them up, get them up, get them going on a Tuesday that for a lot of you will be your Monday. If you enjoyed MLK Day and the holiday yesterday, you are up and out and back at it. And I'll say driving in this morning, much heavier traffic. A lot of folks up and out this morning, getting after it on a Tuesday, 18 January. Hope you enjoyed the long weekend. If you had it, we were here yesterday talking football. We'll be back doing it again today. 4 hours of fun and conversation. Wrapping up Wild Card Weekend begins right now. Plenty of pro football conversation. Cowboys, of course. College football, college hoops, pro hoops yesterday. Busy NBA day on MLK Day. And we'll get this thing rolling. We appreciate you being there up early with us. Early bird always gets the worm. However you find us on 104.9, on 101.9 AM 1260. And you know we're always streaming for you, making it easy. Find us on your Horn app. Play us up and fire it up on a smart speaker when you're working from home or at the office. We're certainly always available at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. We do appreciate it. We appreciate it each and every day. And get ready if you got hoses hooked up to your house. Get ready over the next 2 days to get rid of those. Take those off. Roll them up. Let them dry out a little bit. I don't see any rain in the forecast, but I see a lot of cold and windy conditions. So get them off the hoses there. They could freeze up for sure. You got 2 days of some pretty cold weather, so be careful Thursday and Friday especially.
Yeah, temperatures in the middle 20s yes. Saturday and Friday.
Which means in the hill country, yeah, that stuff could start sooner than that.
That's in Austin, so Austin proper as far as that forecast. It'll be even colder in the outer-lying areas this coming weekend. A couple more days of very pleasant conditions
today,
here.
Today, almost 77 degrees, something like that over the next couple days.
Amazing. That'll go from Wednesday 77 to a high of barely 45 on Thursday, so get ready for that. It is the winter. It is January, and we've got plenty of football to talk. Appreciate you being there. As we said, hope you had a great weekend. Enjoyed a long one. We were here yesterday. Isaiah Collier was not here yesterday. He was out enjoying his wedding, beautiful wedding on Sunday that you and I both attended, and Zay is back with us this morning. Zay, how you feeling? You were a married man. Now you're officially a married man. You went through the whole thing, the pomp, the circumstance, the vows. It was a beautiful wedding, and congratulations, my friend.
Thanks, E. Feeling great. Beautiful wife, great venue, great wedding. Everybody did their job, and it went smooth. Very happy with it.
Yeah, weather came through. You had a beautiful sunset at the location out there.
Spent an evening out at Lost Pines.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, nice job. But we'll have a lot of fun this morning. A lot of conversation. Safe to say the NFL riffraff has been eliminated. The teams that didn't belong, the pretenders, were dominated by the contenders, and the contenders will advance into the divisional round of the playoffs. That includes the LA Rams. Let's get to the headlines, trending topics to start your Tuesday, including the final game of Wild Card Weekend. UVO Business Services brings it to you, and yeah, what they call Super Wild Card Weekend wrapped up last night with the first ever Monday Night Football playoff game, and the turned out to be the fourth blowout of the six games this weekend. L.A., the Rams, overwhelmed the Arizona Cardinals in all phases en route to a 34-11 rout. Matt Stafford threw for 202 yards, a pair of touchdowns, also ran for a third on a quarterback sneak. He earns his first career playoff win after all those rough years in Detroit. And it was a forgettable playoff debut for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. They were down 21-0 before they were able to post their first down of this game. Rams will now head to Tampa to face Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on Sunday. The Cardinals will try to figure out what the heck happened after a 10-2 start to their season. Cliff Kingsbury's side finished the year losing five of their last six. Their lone win in the last 6 weeks came against the Cowboys. Yesterday, Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones squashed speculation about head coach Mike McCarthy's job status, appearing on the Fan Radio in Dallas. yesterday, the day after the Cowboys season ended with that sloppy and frustrating wild card loss to San Francisco. When he was asked yesterday whether he was confident McCarthy would be back as the team's head coach, Jones responded, absolutely, very confident. McCarthy is 18-16 in two seasons with Dallas, but the team just 9-11 in games played outside of their mediocre NFC East division. Team's coordinators are going to be busy this week interviewing for head coaching jobs now that the season is over. Five teams with head coaching vacancies have requested to interview the Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. That includes Denver, Chicago, and Minnesota. Four have requested to interview their offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. That includes the Broncos as well. Jaguars and Dolphins out in Vegas. Mike Mayock has been fired as the GM of the Raiders after three tumultuous seasons there. In college football, congratulations to Texas freshman wide receiver Xavier Worthy, yesterday named a freshman All-American by the Football Writers Association of America. Following his breakout first season, Worthy led all Texas pass catchers in yards, receptions, and touchdowns. College hoops, Gonzaga narrowly edged Auburn for the number one spot in this week's AP Top 25 poll after a week of upsets. Of course, after their two-watt loss week, Baylor, the previously number one ranked team, slid down to five. Texas comes in at number 23 this week. Chris Beard's Longhorns in action tonight. They're going to host Kansas State at the Irwin Center. Wildcats off to a 1-4 start in the Big 12, but their first win came this past Saturday over Texas Tech. They're coming in feeling good. That game will tip at 7:30 tonight. It's a 7 o'clock pregame right here on the Horn. NBA yesterday, as we mentioned, busy day of NBA hoops on MLK Day. Mavericks post a win over Oklahoma City, 104-102. Spurs, a loser at home to Phoenix, 121-107.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Mr. Godbolt. Favorites go 5-1.
Yeah, do I get a credit for the Rams last night?
You can have credit. That'd be well. That wasn't a gold star lock pick,
no.
But you did say that was your side.
Yes.
Yesterday. If you missed it yesterday, Bucky now 14-1 in his last 15 star lock picks. He had another 3-0 week because you're riding the favorites. You like to play favorites, and typically that gets you in trouble when you're gambling.
This year,
not the case.
Well, not in this wild card deal. It's not. Take the favorites, as you said, the riffraff can move on.
The only favorite not to win, of course, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, speaking of the riffraff.
The riffraff out.
Which is going to keep their coach for another year and be average again.
Well, I mean,
they're looking for the same exact thing. That's what they're going to get.
And they might lose both coordinators, or at least one of them. I think Dan Quinn's going to be a head coach somewhere else.
That's too bad. That's a bad move by them.
I agree, and we talked about this yesterday. But, man, if you consider where the Cowboys were when Dan Quinn took over, the narrative was he needs to come in and stop the bleeding. The offense is still going to carry this team. The defense just needs to be okay. Well, by year's end, the defense was carrying the team. Because Dan Quinn did such a great job on that side of the ball, the drafting of Micah Parsons, the acquisitions they made on recommendation of Dan Quinn to run the defense he wanted to run. He showed his worth. And as we've talked about, I mean, the offense was supposed to be the engine of this team. And in the end, they could only muster 17 points in the final game. The offense sputtered and stalled.
All they did for 2 years is have Jason Garrett still be their coach. That's what they've got.
Well, they were more disciplined under Jason Garrett.
Wow.
I mean, think about when Mike McCarthy was hired, right? His job was to work with young Kellen Moore and get the most out of Dak Prescott, take Dak Prescott from this level to the elite level. Safe to say that hasn't happened. Dak was pretty mediocre down the stretch. I know, and here's the real, when we say frustrating for the Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys became the second NFL team to score over 500 points in a season. To lose in the wild card round, to not even get out of wild card weekend. Cowboys joined the 2000 St. Louis Rams with over 500 Jeez. Points. So it's hard to say the offense was bad. It was record-setting for the organization. But in big games and big moments against good teams, the offense just
wasn't
enough.
Yeah, they're very similar to the Cardinals. They get off to a fast start, and then they just disappear. They don't only disappear, they just go downhill.
Well, can I give you a stat on Cliff Kingsbury?
The stat is within the 24 hours, they're probably going to be looking for a new coach there.
Unbelievable. Well, I mean, here's what's believable. If you go back to Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, starting in 2013 through
now. Let's not forget, he was fired, right, at Texas Tech. He didn't say, okay, I got a job.
He was fired and was 10 games under 500. But think about this. The narrative of Cliff Kingsbury is pretty much not a narrative. It's in stone. If you go back to 2013 to now, his final six teams at Texas Tech and his first three with the Arizona Cardinals. Listen to this. 2013 lost five of his last six. 2014, lost four of his last six. 2015, lost four of his last six games with the Red Raiders. 16, 6 of 8. 17, 6 of 8. 18, he finished on a five-game losing streak and got fired with his Cardinals in three seasons.
So his coaching doesn't stick for a whole time,
season. In 19, lost seven of his last nine. 20, lost five of the last seven. And then 2021, lost five of their last six games to end the season.
So when it really counts at the end.
Well, once he's figured out, like it sounds like you know, Cliff Kingsbury does a nice job of building a off-season game plan. Here's what we're going to be.
Well, they were 8-1.
They were 7-0 and 10-2 to start the season. And here they are. And again, the only win they had in the last 6 weeks was over Dallas. They went into Dallas and pushed the Cowboys around, which is concerning. They couldn't beat anybody in that stretch except for Dallas. And then last night, that game was, man, I know Buffalo did that to New England. But it's hard to find a game that was more overwhelming than that.
I heard Jerry talk about, we have all this talent. Well, you need somebody to coach that talent. If you've got all that talent, why would you want an average coach, average to below coach? You just had an average to below coach for like 10 years. I mean, and now you got one that I think may be worse than the other guy.
It feels like it. It feels like it. That's a sloppy team in 2 years. And that's why we're going with the Cowboys. Dan Quinn did a great job and remedied the defense, helped put the defense back on track. Offense never really got on track in the most important moments. They couldn't run the ball. Most penalized team in pro football, undisciplined, and not able to take advantage of those weapons. And as we say, they could lose both coordinators. At least one of them will be gone. And it does appear, at least now, that Mike McCarthy will be back, if you believe the words of Stephen Jones yesterday.
Yeah, Stephen and Jerry, I thought they would sit back and give this a couple days and then make a decision. I didn't know they'd be by Monday ready to say, no, he's our guy. Come on.
Yeah. Well, look, that's the first interview the day after, and Stephen Jones has that. That's an appointment listening thing for the fan. They get him every week, and does that mean that can change? I mean, as of yesterday, absolutely.
Well, if he feels like he assured the fans that everything's okay and this is going to be the guy, no, dude, this is the same old thing.
Well, and, we'll get this text that Dak had 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, his best season. Look, I mean, if you think Dak Prescott's playing elite football against good teams, then I think you're not seeing it. The stats, you throw stats around all you want. And I think the important stat for the Cowboys is they were 6-0 against the worst division in football. Eagles were exposed again on Sunday against Tampa. They're not that good. With Jalen Hurts. And so, yeah, the Cowboys went 6-0 against their division. They were 500 against everybody else. And look at Dak Prescott's numbers against good teams. That becomes what you have to focus on because, Buck, that's what it takes. If you want to win a championship, mm-hmm. you have to beat the best teams and the best quarterbacks and the best coaches.
For sure, yeah.
And this team consistently can't do that. They can, sure, you can throw numbers around, and that's why I said they scored over 500 points this year. That's on the scoreboard. They did that.
Yeah, and in an 18-game season, you're going to have to win a lot of games from now on. You can't win your
game. Has that already been announced? We're going 18 already?
No, I'm just saying, as it gets ready to move up, I mean, even in a 17-game season, you can't. This 8-8 stuff is going to start coming to an end. I mean, you got to be better than that. And you can't falter at the end of the year. You got to be getting stronger.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will win this thing, but they're getting stronger at the end of the year. There's teams that look, I mean, that Rams team last night, with their running back that comes off of an Achilles tear. I mean, that dude was
Cam Akers.
Wow. I didn't pay much attention to him, but boy, is he explosive.
Yeah. Well, before he got hurt, he was going to be one of those high fantasy draft picks, Cam Akers. In that Sean McVay offense. He's a kid out of Florida
State. They were still
a
little worried about him last night, but they played him early, and boy, did he have some explosive kind of runs.
Yeah, he's a game breaker. We say the riffraff is gone. I mean, this weekend coming up will be heavyweight battles. I mean, you're talking about the Rams going to the Buccaneers, Brady, Stafford, McVay against Arians. There's so much firepower, so much star power. How about Von Miller last night? Mm-hmm. We know what Aaron Donald is. Von Miller looking like a spring chicken coming off the edge. That is dominant. Jalen Ramsey, anchoring the defensive backfield for them. We know what they can do on offense. That's a heck of a game in Tampa. Obviously, you've got Green Bay hosting the 49ers. The Niners are on a roll. They've gotten hot at the right time with Kyle Shanahan, of course, taking down the Cowboys. They'll face the Packers, who had the week off. Then over in the AFC, Tennessee hosts Cincinnati. And I think the marquee game of the weekend is Josh Allen.
Kyler Murray went from a MVP guy the first six or seven games of the season to just another guy playing, you know, below average quarterback.
Yeah, the marquee matchup will be the Chiefs hosting the Bills, both coming off dominant performances. But yeah, Kyler Murray, just like Cliff Kingsbury, they both looked rattled last night. They both looked overwhelmed. Cliff, I mean, there were times where I don't think I've ever seen Cliff sweat so much. Cliff was, you could see the sweat on his face.
I noticed that a little bit. He had a little glow to him.
He had no answers, and Kyler looked scared.
Kyler was throwing it underhanded to other guys. I mean, come on.
Kyler looked lost. He didn't know what to do. I mean, the hand grenade he threw for the interception.
I know, that was terrible.
Wow, that was Pop Warner kind of football. But, you know, he's about to get sacked because they couldn't block the Rams front. That was, as I said, they were down 21-0 before they had a first down. They went 4 3-and-outs, ugly 3-and-outs, by the way, where they were getting negative yardage on their three plays before the punt, and then the pick six on the fifth drive, and that game was over. And yeah, Kyler and Cliff, and we'll see where that goes. You know, there are a lot of folks that believe in the desert a change will be made. Will it be the whole coaching staff? Will it just be Cliff? Will they look for a higher level there? Because of Cliff's jobs, of course, is to get the most out of the offense. You know, that was not a good performance last night.
No, and they've had back-to-back years of injuries, too.
They have. Well, injuries are part of the NFL. You're going to deal with that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we know each year the team that stays the most healthy at the top end, you know, typically comes out on top, or at least if you have Tom Brady as your quarterback. But, look, you know, Tampa's not going to listen to anybody about injuries. They've had a ton of injuries. You know,
their whole season's been that way on defense.
Yeah, that 49ers, they're not. I mean, they've been dealing with injuries all year. Now Nick Bosa and Frank Warren, their linebacker, dealing with some injuries coming out of the Cowboys game. That's just part of it. And Cliff Kingsbury, as we've said, just his team's collapse. That's a recipe that goes, you know, 8 years deep at Texas Tech and Arizona. They're good for a while, and then just the floor falls out from under them, and that goes to coaching and you know, adjustments and you know, changing as teams make adjustments to you. Are you adjusting back to those adjustments? Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury's been exposed in that regard. I think it's fair to say, losing 5 of 6 this year, 5 of 7 a year ago, after promising starts.
Do you think that's the last of we'll see of J.J. Watt? He'll just go on and go.
I don't know. I mean, I know in J.J.'s mindset, I don't think he wants to end his career that way. With that loss and with the way his season went, he did battle his way back from a shoulder injury that was very severe. Shows you his dedication to keep playing. But he's in his early 30s now. I bet he's back playing. I don't know. We'll never see J.J. Watt to the level we saw him. But I think he'll be back somewhere, and probably in Arizona. But will Cliff Kingsbury be back? Becomes the question. What do the Cowboys do to find some answers? And we'll. You know, you look backwards at the teams that didn't make it and all the picking up of pieces. But looking forward, Buck, this is going to be one heck of a divisional weekend with 2 days and four games. And the riffraff eliminated. The teams that can actually win the Super Bowl are all still playing. And as we know throughout the course of the regular season, you make a case for pretty much any of these teams. I mean, is there one of these, you know, six teams remaining that you think can't win? Or eight teams, I should say, that can't win the
Super Bowl?
Well,
the one that I think on one end can get there is the Buffalo Bills.
Well, sure. I mean, Bills might be a favorite right now in the AFC. That game with the Chiefs is the heavyweight matchup of the weekend. Maybe the Bengals, maybe too early for them to go win a Super Bowl. You know, Titans, you're not sure, but they're getting Derrick Henry back off the week.
I don't know how effective that guy can be.
Well,
that's a lot of games missed. Those are a lot of cuts. And this is the real live, fast action. This won't be practice. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but what if the other side of that is, what if he's got fresh legs and he's, you know, spry and ready to go? You got a healthy and fresh-legged Derrick Henry.
Well, if I believe that was going to happen, then I'd love them because of the way they play defense.
He's been practicing now for 3 weeks and getting his legs back under him.
It's the 49ers you got to worry about.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you take the eight teams remaining, I think you can make a case that for each of them to be a they could win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bengals would be the one team that you probably would.
Too young, yeah.
Too young, too early. You know, going to Tennessee after the narrow victory over the Raiders. But, man, Titans, Chiefs, Bills, Niners, Packers, Rams, Buccaneers. I mean, all those teams, if they, you know, can make big plays. I mean, those are all teams that could win a Super Bowl in my mind. Maybe the 49ers would be the least of those. But the way they're playing, I mean, that 49ers team just beat the Rams, who looked like world beaters last night. They're not going to play Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in what should be one heck of a game.
I would think so, yeah.
At Lambeau Field. And we know that the Niners have been a problem for the Packers. The physicality of Kyle Shanahan's offense and the physicality of the Niners in general.
Yeah, and the Rams will be a problem for Tampa Bay, too.
I think so, too, yeah. I mean, I think the Buccaneers will get Leonard Fournette back this week. They're hoping with that hamstring, but who knows. The Rams, we know, are all in. They've made every trade under the moon to try to put this team in a position to go, you know, play a Super Bowl in that building that we saw last night at SoFi Stadium. It's where they're hosting the Super Bowl. Matt Stafford looked the part. Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham Jr. looks the part. He looks like he's back to, you know, his, you know, Pro Bowl status playing for that team and playing that offense. You mentioned Cam Akers back running the ball with Sony Michel.
Man.
And we know defensively, Aaron Donald's the best there is. Von Miller, ready to go.
Yeah, I saw Sony Michel get out there kind of in the open field. And I was thinking, boy, if that's the other guy, that other guy is going to make the dude miss and he's going to go down the sideline. You're not going to catch him. He is a speed factor, isn't he?
Oh, man, he's big time. You remember him out of Florida State? And he was, you know, but his young career was, you know, coming along in that offense with Cam or with Sean McVay and then the Achilles injury. But he's all the way back, and he did look explosive last
man.
Night. And that's the kind of guy that can change a game.
Yes.
You get him in space.
You're right.
Short run becomes a long run. Screen pass becomes house call.
That's right.
And, you know, they'll now butt heads with that Buccaneers defense, which, as we saw on Sunday.
They look alive again.
They're, well, and speaking
and
of health,
healthy. Yeah.
You put Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, back and healthy. That becomes the defense that helped carry the Buccaneers to the Super Bowl.
Because it takes a lot of pressure off the secondary, which had lost some gas.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sean McVay's offense is predicated on being able to run the football. You know, and that play action for Matt Stafford, can you run it against the Buccaneers enough? You know, Vita Vea, Ndamukong Suh, Shaq Barrett, those linebackers are great. That becomes a heck of a chess match. That's the early game Sunday. Late game is Bills Chiefs, the two Saturday games, Bengals Titans, Niners Packers, from what should be the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field on Saturday night. That'll be. Yeah, look at the forecast. It's going to be cold here. If it's 25 here, what's the temperature in Green Bay on Saturday night? I got to look at that. That could be really cold for the Niners-Packers. We'll have a look at the long-term forecast. All right, we will continue. Your thoughts on the Cowboys. We know for a lot of you this is the Monday after, not because even though it's Tuesday, because you took MLK Day off. What say you on the Cowboys' performance? Also, we'll see if the Buck over there, who's on a red-hot 14-1 streak with his Gold Star lock picks, can see how close you get on the early spreads for these games. You've already seen the early lines?
I have.
Oh, you have?
I don't like them.
You don't like them?
No.
Like, I was going to play a little game with you, but
let's go. Let's go.
Well, you already know them, but we'll give them to the folks out there. Also, back into those Cowboys. We'll get into the Longhorn situation. Longhorns did pick up a transfer portal commitment over the weekend that we'll talk about, but missed out on a couple of others as we get you rolling. We've got a Craig Wade report coming. We've got your B&E fact of the day, and we're just getting warmed up here on the show of the people.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Tuesday on the Horn B&E with you. Cowboys season over again in the wild card round. One playoff game, one playoff loss. They, like the rest of us, will watch the divisional weekend, and the Cowboys fans trying to figure out what went wrong in the loss to San Francisco. A lot went wrong, and we talked a lot yesterday, and probably not too much, but Buck, certainly the epicenter of the conversation yesterday was on the final 14 seconds and the bad decision to run a quarterback draw and then the handling of that situation. But
you know, when it all comes down to it, that was just a bad move. The quarterback draw was not the...
No, it was a bad call.
Yeah.
And that's where... I mean, it was reckless. I saw where Chris Sims, the former Longhorn, now doing, of course, NBC work, said when he was with John Gruden and other NFL coaches, the number 17 to 18 seconds was kind of the typical cutoff point
right.
When you could try to do something in the middle of the field, run the ball or anything across the middle with no timeouts, and still think you can, you know, get the ball spiked. 17 to 18 seconds. The mm-hmm. Cowboys had 14.
And you're trying to run a draw.
And a quarterback draw. And, of course, the decision or the after post-game comments of Dak Prescott saying, you know, we're trained to hand it to our center. Well, no other quarterback agrees with you on that, including Tony Romo. You hand it to the official.
You find the official as fast as possible, let him set the ball, then go.
I mean, well, that's the part of the lack of discipline right there.
Well, and yeah.
Because if you practice something wrong, guess what happens in a game?
You do it wrong.
You do it wrong, yeah.
Well, and that's where you got to be frustrated, because Mike McCarthy said, we rep that drill. We think we can do that in 15 seconds. But then when your quarterback says, well, we give it to our center, well, the center doesn't spot the ball. The official spots the ball. And we were over this yesterday, but that's frustrating. Were you practicing it wrong?
You were definitely practicing it wrong.
Or was Dak covering his butt there in the end that he did it wrong in the crunch time, like knowing time is critical, that I gave it to the wrong guy? Because, you know, I don't...
How much did he make last year?
40-plus.
Yeah, that's one of those things, that $40 million you need to know as the quarterback.
I would think,
that
right?
You can't give that to your center, because if your center puts it down, the official's going to come in, and I don't care if he moves it. He's always... And they said he just generally touches the ball. No. Generally, most of those guys will move the ball up, forward, or backwards. It doesn't matter a little bit. They don't let your center be the one spotting the ball without them touching it. And they don't just touch it. They move it.
But
they're the spotters of the ball, not your center.
And that obviously became the big conversation, and Cowboy fans
but
are frustrated.
It's the initial call altogether.
Sure. Oh, yeah. But that overshadows the rest of the sloppy performance by the team.
14 penalties?
Yeah, 14 penalties, the 5 sacks allowed, the 77 rush yards total, 7 points into the fourth quarter. The sloppiness generally of the team, those are all, you know, bigger issues and a bigger concern when you're trying to evaluate this team and what it is and what Mike McCarthy got out of it. And to hear Stephen Jones say the next day that, you know, he's very confident that Mike McCarthy will be back. I mean, I think if the Cowboys keep Mike McCarthy and they lose Dan Quinn, that's a huge loss based on what I've watched for 2 seasons. Dan Quinn came in and saved McCarthy's bacon by fixing that defense.
Mm-hmm.
McCarthy still hasn't fixed the offense, and he still hasn't fixed the discipline on the football team.
That's the key part there. You can't have that many penalties. You can't get to the playoffs and be penalized the way they are. Because they're all magnified. Those 5 yards feel like 15-yarders.
And if you look at the...
And they don't run the ball well enough to overcome that.
And that's, again, when you're evaluating this team, if you're Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, you're looking at it, you can look at the salary cap pie and realize you're spending a lot more money on offense than you are on defense. That's not hard to look at. There's one big ticket guy that you pay on defense for the most part, and that's DeMarcus Lawrence. All your other big ticket contracts are on mm-hmm. offense, at quarterback, running back, receiver, O-line. And yet that coach, Dan Quinn, got more out of the defense than your high-priced offense when it mattered most.
If they're bringing the coach back, I think they're probably bringing the kicker back too.
Who's Erline?
Yeah.
Speaking of big ticket kickers.
No, he's coming back.
Yeah. No, it was...
Because if they think the coach is good, they probably still think the kicker is clutch.
Well, and that's the other thing you would say about the Cowboys. If you were frustrated by the final game, you really hadn't been watching the season. That was kind of par for the course for them when they would run into a good team. When they played in their own division, which they dominated, Washington, the Giants, and the Eagles, they were dominating. And there were some games this year where they were dominating. But when they played good teams, this is what you saw from the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of mistakes, a lot of penalties. Even some games that they won over the Chargers and the Patriots. Think about that Patriots overtime win that they had way back midseason or early midseason, where they had 12 penalties and their own mistakes nearly cost them that game that they really dominated on the field. And none of that got fixed as the year went on. None of that was erased. I mean, that, as you say, Buck, this is where you want to keep getting better, you know, keep improving on what you can improve on, eliminate
the
mistakes.
Well, you have the players.
You do. So why in the playoff game are you making the same mistakes you were making midseason, being as undisciplined, the holding calls, and let's just call it as it is, the former Longhorn Connor Williams is not very good.
No.
Yet he continues to run out there as your starting left guard. That's a problem. That middle of the offensive line outside of Zach Martin, that used to be a strength of the Cowboys. I mean, they got overwhelmed by the 49ers, and because the Niners were able to get pressure with just 4 guys the entire night.
What's scary to me is they'll go into next year without a real live backup to Tyron Smith. That's crazy. Guys, the guy's at the end of his career. He's good for, you know, some games, but he's going to be missing some games. And if you don't have anybody at that position that can come in there and play for you, you're in trouble. We found out what happens when you start moving guys around to his position. That's a problem.
Yeah, Terrence Steele actually played pretty good, the undrafted kid out of Texas Tech, when he needed, but he's not a franchise tackle.
No, you got to keep going. You got to keep working at that one.
You do.
And especially in your run game, because Zeke is done to me.
Yeah.
I know everybody will say, well, you had 1,000 yards. Okay, you played 17 games.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need 500 points and Dak's numbers. I need what you do when at crunch right. time, in critical moments.
And you're not making mistakes on quarterback draws with 14. And really, quarterback draw?
Yeah.
And you don't really know how to do it. We give it to the center.
Well, I mean, the championship teams, I remember we talked a lot about this when the Texas-Oklahoma game at the Red River Shootout, right? Why Oklahoma's dominated the Big 12. Executing championship level at critical moments.
Right.
That's what you do. This is that what this time of year is about. Well, what do you do in critical moments? Do you execute at a championship level? That's how you become a champion. Cowboys consistently do not. And that's much like the Longhorns, we saw them. Critical moments, you have to execute.
Kind of what we're seeing of the Arizona Cardinals, too.
Yeah, well, and that's you know, I mean, that was hard to watch last night. It really was. It was so one-sided. It was so overwhelming. It was like the varsity playing the JV. It was really, really ugly for Cliff Kingsbury last night and Kyler Murray. Man. Impressive on the Rams side of it. And obviously, as we've said, the six games this weekend, five of the six favorites won. There were four blowouts of the six games. Only the Cowboys and then the Vegas-Cincinnati game.
And two
was
games
close.
Had officials that were questionable, what people thought were questionable.
You know,
at Cincinnati was definitely
Yeah,
Jerome ridiculous.
Boger's team was, you know, squad was screwed.
And he's done. And they're done for the season, right?
Yeah, and that's... And look, you look forward to this weekend. The largest Vegas line is 5. Everything is this is we say the riffraff is gone. You know, last week was full of big lines and blowouts.
2.5s and threes now.
Yeah, I mean the biggest line this coming weekend, as far as Vegas, the Green Bay Packers are a 5-point favorite over the 49ers. That's the biggest one.
And if Green Bay can't stop the run, look out.
And I did look it up, Buck. Lambeau Field Saturday. It's a night game. High temperature on Saturday, Lambeau, 19, 50% chance of snow. So it's an
opportunity. Damn!
We could be having a 10-degree snowy game, which, you know, hey, look, we know the Packers can run the ball, too. They've got Aaron Jones and that big kid A.J. Dillon, and Aaron Rodgers has shown he's playing in that type of weather his whole career. He'll be all right. But the other side of that is Jimmy Garoppolo and that run game for the San Francisco 49ers in snowy conditions. But the line there is 5. I think it's based on...
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, a week off. And remember, the Packers essentially took the week off the week before when they lost to Detroit in week 17.
They did, you're right. They had about 3 weeks off.
Yeah. Is that good? You know, is there that, you know, week off rust that we see sometimes? The 49ers have been kind of in playoff mode here. I mean, every game the last 4 weeks has been a playoff game for the 49ers. They've had to win them, knowing that they put themselves behind the eight ball with a really rough first half of the season. So they've been playing to that level. Here are the Packers, but that line is 5. Could be in the snow, but everything else, Buck, is nip and tuck. They've got the Tennessee Titans, a 3-point favorite over Cincinnati. They've got, and remember, you know, Cincinnati. One of Tennessee's issues is their secondary can be had, and Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, those guys have been red hot. That could be a higher scoring game than people anticipate if the weather cooperates. But then the Tampa Bay game with the Rams is a 3-point line, field goal favorite for the Bucks, and Kansas City, a field goal favorite over Buffalo at Arrowhead Stadium. So 3 of them a field goal, 1 of them 5. Good football coming this weekend, my friend. We got some bad football this weekend, is it fair to say?
Yes, we did.
We had some, the Buffalo Bills, I mean, the Patriots were no contest. The Steelers, no contest. Eagles, right, no contest.
Right. I mean, there were a couple that you just should have known.
Yeah. But you overthink it in the playoffs because typically the underdogs, those points, Vegas is on it, and it's like, man, these are got 12.5 points. That's a lot of points. It's an NFL game. It's a playoff game. No, these were so one-sided.
It was fly, Eagles, fly. Come on.
These are so one-sided.
Versus Brady.
I mean, there was never a moment in the Buccaneers game, the Bills game.
There was never a moment to me in that game last night.
That you thought that the Cardinals or the underdog could win the game.
No.
Never a moment.
I thought Sean McVay had his offense really going, and his defense – was playing like, you know, like they get paid to play.
Well, they've got star power in L.A., man. They've got a lot of great players.
And Odell Beckham was now part of that offense now.
And looking good. He looks, he's sudden.
Yes.
Twitchy. Just looking like Odell Beckham of the New York Giants days.
Yeah, they used their tight end, Odell Beckham, and of course Cooper Kupp. That's hard to stop right there.
Yeah. They were a juggernaut last night, there's no doubt. But that's... You know, when you turn on a playoff game and the opponent, you just can tell within a quarter and a half have no chance. And guess what? That's what the Cowboys looked like for three quarters against the 49ers. I mean, it was 23-7. You're thinking, the Cowboys don't have a chance in this game. They're getting dominated. They did come to fight in the fourth quarter and then kick themselves in the rear end and the back end. But man,
the Cowboys can't do anything. They've got Zeke. What are they going to do? I mean, that guy looks like a 15-year veteran. He can pass protect, but dude, he is not breaking away and running like Cam Akers or anybody else in the NFL right now.
When you start looking towards the end of the season and into the offseason, that Zeke Elliott contract, you'll see it on all kinds of lists. Worst contracts hanging over franchises. Zeke Elliott accounting for $18 million of a cap hit against the Cowboys this offseason looms big time. And now you've signed up the quarterback to a mega deal. And that's what we talk about. You're paying your quarterback, your running back, and your wide receiver, Amari Cooper, elite money. But they're not performing to an elite level in the most critical moments. That's a problem. In a salary cap league, those guys have to perform. If you're going to pay your quarterback that money, he's got to be playing to that level, or you're not going to be a championship team, and the Cowboys have not been for a long time now. 26 years and counting since their last appearance in the NFC Championship game, and we know it won't happen.
And people will ask about Pollard, and I just don't think he's in every still and every down back. I watch him try to pass protect, and when they're in there, they're going to come and get him. They just are. Defense see him in the game. I mean, if he's going to be an every down back, I mean, he's not big enough to be an every down back. He's not that type of runner. And he's definitely not that type of pass protector. That's when you bring your linebackers to get to your quarterback. When that guy's sitting back there in the pocket and you know he's got to pick up somebody, he's not going to pick them up. He's going to try to cut block them. They're going to jump over him and kill your quarterback.
Yeah, that's right now. That's the strength of Ezekiel Elliott, is his ability to pass protect.
Oh, my God, he can do that. Now he's been doing that since he got in the league.
And protect his best buddy, Dak Prescott.
Yes.
But,
he can't run with it, though. You're just wasting your time giving it to him.
Well, in a game where he was outrushed by the 49ers wide receiver, Deebo Samuel, and you're paying him $18 million, that's a problem. And that's where the Cowboys are headed into another offseason.
And I don't think they make that a real priority, is running the ball. They say they do.
Don't. Well,
they say it, but they really don't.
They don't. And that's, on Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy, Kyle Shanahan is dedicated to the run.
Right.
He's going to have a running back. This kid, Elijah Mitchell.
And I thought the Rams were dedicated to the run last night.
They were. That's Sean McVay. That's what his whole outside zone scheme is based upon. And Kyle Shanahan, he's going to find a running back. Raheem Mostert got hurt this year. We'll bring in this rookie, Elijah Mitchell, and he'll be our lead back. And we'll move Deebo Samuel to running back and give him 10 carries a game, because we're going to run the football. And at the end of it, on Sunday, they were dead even in rush yards and pass yards and 37 rushes.
In the third quarter, I thought Colt McCoy was going to come in that game to at least try to do something, because Kyler Murray was lost.
Well, he looks rattled, to say the least, last night. Overwhelmed by
that guy was an MVP candidate. I mean, middle of the season, they were talking about, that first six games, that dude had it going on.
Well, he was not close to that last night. We'll get back into that game the rest of the wild card weekend. We'll get into some Longhorn chatter as well. Longhorn basketball tonight back at the Irwin Center. We'll hear from Chris Beard as the Horns prep for their latest home game. Also, they got some freebies for you if you're going to the game tonight.
There you
freebies.
Go.
We'll also get a B&E fact of the day. First, though, it is Craig Way on a Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Tuesday on the Horn, 18 January, B&E with you. The wild card round is in the books, and it was a series of blowouts with a couple of edge-of-your-seat games. What will the divisional rounds bring? Start looking forward to those. So we had a busy MLK day of hoops. Gonzaga back to the number one spot, Buck, in the AP Top 25.
Narrowly
ahead of Auburn. Safe to say there's really no consensus on who is the best team in college basketball right now.
Not when the Bears lose twice in a week.
Yeah, Baylor had been number one for several weeks straight and took two losses this week.
Well, there was one guy that I was wrong about. In college football, Zaven Collins for Arizona. I thought he was going to be not as good as Micah Parsons, but an impact player. He really hasn't been for the Cardinals. I watched him last night. He looks like a rookie that played at Tulsa. You know what I mean? That's all. I mean, he's going to be pretty good, I believe. But I don't know. I was expecting more out of him as a rookie. I thought he would be an impactful player, and he really wasn't. He, as I said, he looked just like a rookie that played at Tulsa.
Well, and you know, that's what makes, in my mind, Micah Parsons such a special player,
yeah,
that he had that kind of an impact as a rookie. I mean, he was...
Who didn't even play any football.
Who opted out, didn't even play his final year at Penn State.
Yeah, the two guys that opted out are the two best rookies in football.
Yeah, and Jamar Chase and Micah Parsons. Well, Penei Sewell's in that conversation, too,
yeah,
the Detroit
true.
Lions, top five pick. But, I mean, that to me, that would just... shines more of a spotlight on Micah and just how special a player he is to show up in this league and not just be good and not look like a rookie, but be a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, be dominant. That is so rare. I mean, it's why we keep giving the number, the stat that the last rookie to win Defensive Player of the Year was Lawrence Taylor, who was a once-in-a-generation player, an all-time, you know, top handful of players all time. I mean, is Micah Parsons into that conversation? We'll see as his career goes. But, you know, what Zaven Collins is, much like his teammate Isaiah Simmons. Remember Isaiah Simmons was drafted in the top 10 out of Clemson?
Mm-hmm.
He's taken a while to figure out what his position is.
Right,
the NFL.
Absolutely right. And he's in his third year.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the normal progression for a young player in the National Football League.
Defensive player.
I mean, that's at every level, man. When you get to college and you're a freshman, you don't typically dominate. You're learning your way. You're figuring out the speed of the game, the tempo, how things operate. And that's what makes what Micah did this year just so, you know, unbelievable. He was just such an impactful player.
And what happened to my buddy Mike Mayock yesterday? Axed. Gone.
Got fired. Not surprising. Not surprising. They're kind of doing a full evaluation of Rich Bisaccia, the head coach. But, yeah, Mike Mayock, that was, you know, when all your draft picks, a couple of them end up in jail, you'll be a cut couple of them. you know, the evaluation has not been good. And let's be fair about Mike Mayock. He was John Gruden's guy. When John Gruden got the 10-year contract, he was a fan of Mike Mayock, and they were going to be a team, which is kind of a new common practice in the NFL. Gruden brings in a guy that he can really be the boss of.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan does that with John Lynch out in San Francisco, where, you know, Lynch is the GM by title, but really final say
goes to... How they work together.
Yeah, final say goes to Kyle Shanahan, and that's how it was there. But Mayock out. We'll see what they do with Rich Bisaccia there. He's going to get an interview with that Raiders job. But a lot of coaching activity.
Well, Derek Carr's in his corner, but will he be there? Who knows? You know, after you saw him in the scoring zone the other day.
Well, there's a lot up in the air. Yeah, his inability to get that team touchdowns in the red zone was costly. They had many an opportunity in that Bengals game, and he just couldn't find a touchdown. Had to keep settling for field goals, including the end of the game when they had four chances to try to get the equalizer on the board and could not. But, well, look, I mean, that's a division that, gosh, the Chiefs are the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes is, you know, going to be the dominant force there. But here comes Justin Herbert. I mean, that's a tough place to be. And Denver has fired their coach, Vic Fangio, and they're looking to they're the team I think most people look at as a connection to Aaron Rodgers and when the season's over, if they do make a trade. I mean, that's the Broncos have made no secret. They're going to be very active trying to acquire a franchise quarterback because that's what you have to have. And so if you're the Raiders, I mean, you're looking up going, man, it's kind of like we talked about yesterday with Buffalo and Josh Allen. I mean, what Josh Allen has done to Bill Belichick the last two games at his age, at 25 years old, Bill Belichick sitting over there going, "Gah, I got to beat that. How am I going to beat that? I mean, what do I have to do?
I've got a top five defense now, and I can't beat. Look what they did to us."
Well, and maybe a lot of people didn't see that game over the Christmas break when Buffalo went into New England and beat them. Last two matchups against Bill Belichick, Josh Allen has 8 touchdowns, no picks. Beating him twice and have been unstoppable. And then, as you say, this is a good defense,
right,
for Bill Belichick.
It's not just any defense, top five level defense.
Got good personnel over there. And he's looking at that saying, oh man, what? I mean, now you go into your offseason and it starts with, what do we have to do to compete with that guy?
Is this our quarterback that we drafted? Is this going to be
well,
the guy that can
yeah,
beat him?
Yeah, but also, yeah, how do we beat him? And look, that's what the other three teams in that division were doing for two decades with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But that's where it starts and ends. How do you win your division? And, you know, Cowboys at least figured that out. The Cowboys have won the division. They don't do much beyond that. We'll talk more football, obviously. We'll hear from Chris Beard coming up. Longhorns with a conference game tonight at the Irwin Center. We'll preview it with you. We'll also get you some other fun stuff on this Tuesday. How about the B&E Fact of the Day?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Texas Orthopedics. Texas owned and operated for over 30 years, providing comprehensive orthopedic care for your whole family. TXOrtho.com.
Yeah, blowout's name of the game this weekend. Steelers lost by 21, Patriots by 30, Cardinals by 23. One other time in NFL history, three 20 or more point blowouts in the first round of the playoffs. Could you hazard a guess of what year that was? Where there were three 20 or more point blowouts in the first round of the NFL's playoffs. You got to go back a bit. We'll have the answer on the other side.